I always like preaching this one because you're all here because you want to be, right? I mean, there's no compulsion that says you got to get up at who knows what hour and get here by 6 o'clock in the morning and look as beautiful and handsome as you all do here on the highest and most holy day of the Christian year. You want to be here. And you've got smiles on your face. Well, most of you. And there's kids here, too. And teenagers. Look at them all. I really didn't know teenagers could get up before 7 o'clock. And we're all here. And now I have to kind of wake up. If only I could be awake. You're here because you want to be the first ones to hear the good news of Christ's resurrection and celebrate it here at your church this morning. And welcome to you. You're like the women, aren't you, that went to the tomb early that morning. Three we have names for, but there are others. They were optimists. They go down to the tomb in the morning, not knowing how they're going to get the stone open, but they go anyway. They come in sadness. They leave at the empty tomb in bewilderment. And then they return to the scene in greatest joy. No one comes to this service today without that joy. I believe that. And what's the source of this joy? Boy, if we could bottle this, if we could put this joy into pill form and have it for every day of the year, wouldn't that be wonderful? What a life would be ours. No more dullness. All our problems that we face would be countered with a greater joy. We'd have a spring in our step. Things would come along, but it wouldn't faze us. We could meet the challenges with optimism. What is the source of that joy that the women have? Well, the angels told them when they came to the tomb, "Don't you remember what he said? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and be raised on the third day." That's the key. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. And so is his plan. The plan that he had been telling them all along had come true. And if he's alive, that means something different for those women. Something great was in store for them, and now for us, if we are believers in Christ like they were. Jesus preached that a time was coming when all the dead in their graves would hear his voice and they would come out, some to life and some to condemnation. And Paul preached it a little bit different, but he said it like this: "We shall all be changed. The dead will be raised imperishable." And he said it again: "We shall be raised." Imperishable, that sounds a little odd, doesn't it? I think of fruit sitting out on my dining room table. It sits there, it looks real good. If I eat a piece, it tastes wonderful. But if I leave it sit for 5, 6, 7 days, it's not imperishable, but it does perish, and it's good for nothing. You just throw it away. Well, I think of myself, too. I'm 45 years old this summer. I know for some of you, you think that's kind of young. Others of you think that's ancient. Well, it's all relative, isn't it? I'm perishable. I notice these glasses I've been wearing for years, but every year it's a little harder to see, even though I get a new prescription. I'm always asking students in the classroom to speak up, because I just can't hear them. I go see the doctor every year. He pokes and prods and tests and offers me more pills. It doesn't go away, does it, you older folks? They just keep offering you more pills. I see a lot of old people in my work. They can't come to church anymore. They're suffering a lot. They can't walk. Maybe they can't see. They can't hear. Tragically, some of them can't even eat anymore. But imagine being imperishable. Can you picture it in your mind? Being in the best of health, in fact, better health than you've ever known, even when you were a child. Imagine never aging again. That, my friends, is what we're getting. That is part of where the joy comes from on Easter morning. Jesus rose from the dead. His old body was susceptible like ours. He hungered, he thirsted, he bled, he died. His resurrection body, the one he met people with that morning, was imperishable. It was the same body he showed the wounds that he received 3 days earlier, yet healed. That body overcame sin on the cross, and therefore death could not hold on to that body. Now, because he shares his victory with all of us, death can't hold on to us either. Here we are full of sin. Here and now we cannot help ourselves. We are overcome by temptation and trouble. We despair. We forget about that Easter joy. We are overcome with doom and gloom. But then Jesus applies his victory to us. He shares his Easter with us. Paul said in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Jesus, meeting the women, meeting the disciples, showing them his wounds, showing them it is true, I have risen from the dead. That's what we're going to be like. As he is, we will be like that one day. Yes, on that day when the last trumpet is sounded and all the dead are raised, we're going to be like that. Imperishable. You see how this can change your day? Not just this day, but any day? It sure did for these women. And it can do for us. Imagine yourself going to work. You get there, you find out you're out of a job. You've been downsized. And you say to yourself, yes, but I'm going to get a heavenly body. You're going to a funeral, a loved one, a parent, spouse. You're just about overcome with grief. But then you remember about Easter. And you say to yourself, yes, but I will see them again. You're sitting in the doctor's office. You're wondering what this test was like, what the results were. Doctor comes in and tells you, you're not going to make it. It's a setback. But then you remember the words of Easter. He is risen, and I'm going to rise too. The resurrection has the power to change our worst days into something that we can survive. And more than survive, we can give thanks for. It gives us real hope. And where there's hope, there's that peace that calms us, that dries our tears and puts a smile on our face and joy in our hearts, even in the worst of situations. Well, what's heaven going to be like? Well, the Bible tells us a little bit about it. It starts off by saying, the things that we suffer here aren't even worth to be compared with the joys that we're going to experience there. It tells us, first of all, that we're going to be with Christ. We're going to see God face to face, and not through this veil that he shows us, not through words and bread and wine and water, but face to face. He says there's going to be no more sorrow or death or crying or pain because these are the things of a former way of life. They're all going to be removed. There's going to be rest from our labor. No more striving and hard work. But there we will work, but it will be we'll be serving God, a perfect worship and a perfect service. And it'll not be forced out of us, but we'll flow because that's what we're going to want to do when we see our Lord, happy and full of joy. And the Bible says that there's going to be a glory that God's going to share with us, a glory that's not fading and doesn't go away after a season or a day, but a glory that has no end. This is the good news that the resurrection brings us, this picture of Christ raised and us raised with him one day. No wonder old Job, in the midst of his suffering, as we heard so beautifully sung this morning, old Job, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his house, he even lost his health. It was all taken away from him by God. But he could still stand there, sick as he was, and grieving, and he could still praise the Lord. Because there was one thing he had left, one thing God did not remove from him. And do you know what that thing was? It was faith. Faith in his Redeemer and faith in his own resurrection. For he said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I and not another. I myself will see him with my own eyes. How my heart yearns within me. That's what he said. That's the faith that we have here this morning, isn't it? This early morning. That's why we're here. It's worth getting up for. This joy we have this morning, we pray to God, Lord, please make it last. Help us to remember the joy that you've given us today. Help us to remember it when the devil comes around and when those hard times come. Help us to remember and be restored. The way to make it last is to remember that his resurrection is the assurance of our own resurrection. And as he lives forever in glory, by faith in the forgiveness of sins, so we also will live in that glory forever. And now let us join in that ancient greeting of the Easter season that summarizes this faith, this joy, this peace that God has given us. Alleluia, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.